from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Well, other than the Malcolm Butler benching Curtis, there may be no topic that in my 97 years of broadcasting is more controversial than the one that we are about to discuss right now.
Brissett?
Not Jacoby Brissett or Drake May, but we can get an opinion from our next guest on that. John O'Keefe was a Boston police officer who passed away in January of 2022. In Canton, Massachusetts. Courtney and I were invited to a dinner with Karen Reed, who was accused of murder in that case. And there were some who are texting now, some like sure. Maybe our next guest, who were upset that we went to that dinner and posted a photo. And so my obligation as a broadcaster is to give any and all who are upset the opportunity to respond. And so John Jackson is here. John, how are you?
Appreciate thanks. It. Good morning.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And you are a longtime friend of John's, college buddies.
Oh, yep.
College
yep.
buddies.
College together, yeah.
And you are here to represent a group of friends and others who kind of want the other side
of the
story to be told. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not that we were really upset about the, you know, yeah, it's going to do. It is what it is. I mean, you do what you have to do. But, you know, just like this opportunity, really, to get out and say the other side, because we feel, like I said, I don't represent the O'Keefe family. I know them. I love them. They're fantastic. But I'm more like the lifelong friends of Johnny, kind of got together and said, let's put some of these, some of these rumors to rest, some of the untruths out there to rest, and just talk about him, get him back to the front and center of this.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why Greg and I took the opportunity to sit down with her as well, because there was so much out there.
And
whether it's social media or watching the live stream during the trial, it has become a circus.
Wild.
I can't imagine being a friend of his and watching this all unfold.
Sure.
But for Greg and I, we weren't there. So for me, I wanted to sit down with somebody and ask the questions that were on my mind. And when the opportunity presented itself, and to sit down with her and me be able to say, I've heard this, I've heard this, I've heard this, and have somebody give me something, I thought that was important. And so that's why I'm so happy that you're here, too, because it is important to get both sides. But we've been very forthcoming in the fact that we both believe that John O'Keefe deserves justice. And if she did not do it, that's important, too.
Of course. I mean, you know, we obviously have our side.
Right.
We feel a certain way about it. But, as far as...
But what is that way? Because it's important for you. You're here. So
yeah.
you have determined that she did it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. So let's talk a little bit first. Let me talk about him, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Let me just start with Johnny.
Yeah.
Let me talk about Johnny. Johnny was a fantastic guy, right? So, like I said, lifelong friends got together and said, during the first trial, we kind of just sat back and we all kind of agreed, let's not be the reason anything goes wrong here. We know the truth's on our side. You know, the evidence is there. Let's let it play out. And we did. And we sat back. What we underestimated was the outside noise. And the social media sort of groundswell, if you will, that took off, and just the narrative got away from everybody. And of course, we watched the trial, and we know what we saw in the trial. Now, we can talk about later if you want, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, all that stuff aside, the thing that's getting sort of pushed to the background is Johnny, you know. And so as one of his friends, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, his memory, everybody who thinks about this trial thinks about him first, right? Put his thought in your mind first, because that's ultimately the real victim here, the ultimate victim here. No matter what you believe in this case, he's the guy, and you said it yourself, yeah. Justice for Johnny. But, I mean, he was such a tremendous guy. And I'll tell you a little bit. So we went to Northeastern together, mm-hmm. right, in those years. We AF all the time. Yeah. Hill man, right? So yeah. all the crazy shows. It's just, like, so funny guy. We commute together. We didn't live there. We commuted. So, you know, he had this terrible car back in the day. I can't even say the word he called it. But, you know, he had this terrible car, and we'd drive in, and there was a song, Gallows Pole. You guys played it all the time.
Yeah.
Gallows Pole, right? Yeah. He was pretty straight-laced, you know, great sense of humor, but he was, you know, pretty put together. And every time the song came on, he'd roll the windows up so he could belt it out, as loud as he could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just really let it go. And then as soon as the song's over, roll the windows down, like, but every morning with you guys,
just
you know?
The
time. But I mean,
just,
Walk for Change and all that stuff,
I don't know, I would include myself in this, that I don't think there are a lot of guys who would do what he did when it came to adopting his niece and nephew.
Yeah, yeah.
So, my interest in this is that, first of all, my interest, like everybody, like you, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You don't know what happened.
No, in terms of like eyewitnesses and stuff, like there's nobody, yeah, right, of course.
Well, explain to me if you do know what happened. How do you know what happened?
So let's start back. Let's start back with, again, being close with the family, right? So the family and friends. We all know him and his personality and who he was, and you know he was not like an intensely like violent guy or anything. He was pretty laid back, and like it wasn't like so to hear these stories about like fights and anger and resentment with other, you know, we can get into Colin Albert or anything you want, yeah, right? So. All this stuff, it just wasn't his nature ever, you know, at all. So to hear like, oh, he had a beef with this guy and that, like, it just wasn't his personality, first of all, right? Like, we can start at the base there. But then immediately after the situation happened, the family and the close friends all got kind of these vibes from her saying, you know, like, she just changed on a dime, like her person, the way she interacted with the family, and it kind of set them back because, you know, they... You met her, obviously. Mm-hmm. I've never actually met her in person, just mm-hmm. you know. But you know, she's engaging and likable, and you know, some of the closer friends were like, they, you know, just didn't expect it. But when it happened, and she changed on a dime, and that was it. She cut the family off, cut the friends off, you know, and that was it. So those are kind of like telegraphing as to, you know, possible reasons why the family considered her right away.
I will say that she echoed your sentiment, though, that he was not an aggressive guy, that he was not somebody. She told us, because I made sure to ask the question, I saw the rumors that John may have brought to light maybe Colin Albert and some drug accusations before this all went down. And she said that never happened. People are trying to make it more dramatic.
Sure.
They're trying to add more flame to the fire.
Sure.
And so... For me, if you believe so strongly that she did it, and just looking at the evidence, how could she have been there and hit him at the time that they say he died if she was already at his house?
Sure, you're talking about the Wi-Fi.
Yes, yeah. Right. So, well, because I'm just, right. That's just my mind when watching this.
Sure, so, I mean, we can get specifically into it, like, in terms of, like, the car data and stuff, like, you know. So,
yeah.
So her Lexus had Techstream data on it, and, you know, which these Ocker guys did not even look at. They're experts in this Techstream data. It's on their website saying, this is what we do. It's the most, you know, and they didn't bother looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what their questions, right? We can get into that too, but
yeah.
we don't know what they were actually looking for, if they decided what they decided without looking for it. But that Techstream data, you know, if you follow the timeline there's about 5 or 6 minutes between the time, close to five. I mean, it depends on if it's, you know, 459 or whatever, right? So there's about 5 minutes there between when we believe the accident happened and when the Wi-Fi connected. Now, the Wi-Fi can connect outside the house. You can pull in the driveway and that Wi-Fi can connect. It doesn't have to be I'm sitting in front of the router, you know what I mean? It just can. So
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Go ahead. Let
me just ask you this. You believe, and I'm assuming that the family and friends believe, that In the United States, I think 5%, maybe less, slightly less, of the murders are committed by women. And so your belief is that, and you were talking about how John would not be, is not the kind of person who would get into a fight. So you're making that character judgment about John, and rightly so, knowing him. Do you at all question that 5% of these murders are committed by women, and this is somebody who was a Bentley professor, worked at Fidelity, had not been in trouble previously, and just decided on that night?
I wouldn't say just decide. I mean, you're talking about 5% of the population, but it's one person.
Yeah.
We talk about one person, right? So, you can throw all those stats out and just think, this one person had whatever happened that night, whether, highly intoxicated. And, I won't get into it, but highly intoxicated in that moment, whatever happened in that moment, there was something, right?
Yeah.
That happened. So
I want to ask this question because I wasn't as vested as Greg and Courtney is. Does the family and you guys believe that it was something that was just everybody was kind of very drunk and it was an accident, or does they feel like there was a little bit of intent there?
Sure. So I can speak to that. I'll speak about me personally. Mm-hmm. Good question, because, at the moment, it probably was an accident, right? Like in the moment, mm-hmm. at that moment, like the act was intentional, right? What she did was intentional. She's intoxicated, and it was, they probably arguing and mm-hmm. fighting or whatever, and there was the act was probably accidental.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that we have is that happened at 12:30-ish at night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, 6 o'clock in the morning, right? So what happened in that time frame? All those, we know she called her parents at 1 o'clock in the morning. Who calls their parents at 1 o'clock in the morning? Because I just saw my boyfriend walk into the house of a party I dropped him at.
Maybe it was a butt dial.
Maybe it was a butt dial.
There were a lot of butt dials.
There was a lot of butt dials. We can get into that too.
Do those bother you at all?
Oh, sure. Look, I'll tell you flat out now. Like, again, speaking of myself, we're not, the investigation wasn't perfect, right?
Okay.
To say the least.
Well, that's
right?
What I want to get into.
Yeah,
so the jury, it was a mistrial.
Yep.
And I don't know any other way to. I assume you think that the state did not do a good job prosecuting the case.
We'll find out in terms of those affidavits and stuff. What actually happened with the jury? The actual numbers of the jury.
But it was a mistrial.
It was a mistrial. Yeah. So
the jury was not able to come to a unanimous verdict. That's
correct.
The way the justice
of course,
system
of course.
Works.
So yeah. In terms of. Do we think the prosecution didn't do a good job? I'll say it. Let me rephrase it and say it. All the evidence that needed to be in front of that jury was in front of that jury. to convict. If they wanted it, it was there. Hopefully, it gets repackaged in the second trial and delivered a little bit differently. My opinion, right? So, because everything that was necessary to convict her was there, you know?
If she is found not guilty in the next trial, do you think that you, in seeking justice for John, will want to find out what happened?
You're asking almost two different questions. Like, so the family knows and the friends know what happened, okay? So if it's not, you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but if we're taking a hypothetical that she's not convicted in the next trial.
Well, I'm only taking it because she wasn't convicted in this one.
Of course. And there's, you know, depending on how this goes, there's going to be another trial, right? In terms of, there's going to be another trial, but do we still know? We know. We know what happened.
But we do know what.
Is that fair?
You're talking about fairness is different than being able to prove something in a court of law, right? So we can talk about fairness. You know, Johnny's not here. That's not fair at all, right? So that's the most important thing for us. But if she's not convicted the second time, I mean, what are we going to do? We'll say if there's a not guilty, right? If there's a not guilty, well, that's the end of that, right? I mean, that's how it is. She would have been found to have not guilty in the court of law, and our hands are tied then, right?
Yeah.
But
you bring up, like, what did she do though between the time she left the party and then the next morning when John's body was found? They do have record. Like, she called him 30-plus times.
It's 100 phone calls, phone calls, sure.
But over 30 voicemails. So during that time, we do know what she was doing. Does that raise suspicion to you at all that she didn't know what was, like, she didn't know where he was?
Well, so...
Because if she was so drunk, I just don't know if you can have the wherewithal to be able to say, I'm going to premeditate it to look like I'm looking for him.
Okay, so we talk premeditation is a little bit different too, right? You're talking about something different than actual. Like, so, for instance, her actions to us show that she knows she knew she did something wrong, right? And in those critical hours between, say, 1 a.m. or 12:30 and 6 a.m., possibly could have saved his life if she made different decisions. That's my opinion, right? So. When you talk about the murder two charge, the third prong of that charge is the intent charge, right? Mm-hmm. But the intent is not, did she premeditate it? Did she intend to do it? The intent is, did she intend to do an act, right? Like, the act of doing it. The act is driving the car backwards 24 miles an hour, 60-something feet, and hitting Johnny. That's the act, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My premeditation topic was about the phone calls. Like, was she sitting at home after doing this, knowing she did it, and say, okay, I'm going to call him over 100 times, leave over 30 voicemails to make it look like I was worried and looking for him? That's what I'm talking about. But if you're that hammered, I don't think you have the capacity to be able to do that.
So, obviously, we don't know, right? Obviously, we don't.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I will never speak to her. So I'll never get a chance to ask you that question. But you have to think, whatever happened in that moment that caused her to act the way she did and drive the car in reverse at that speed, at that crazy speed, and hit him and move and drive away, you know, that is, you know, if we called it, the way you were talking earlier about, you know, was it intentional, mm-hmm. was it an accident, you know, whatever it was, she did the act.
Mm-hmm.
She drove it. She drove and then she left him.
Mm-hmm.
Still drunk, still hysterical. Those actions in there, you know, people act differently, obviously, in the moments. So those actions for the next 30-plus voice, whatever the voicemails were, I don't keep the numbers, right? But whatever that was, you can't say it was necessarily rational. Could have been intoxicated. It could have been hysterical. Could have been whatever that reason is. I mean, some of the voicemails alluded to him stepping out or whatever. Wasn't true, but in her mind it was, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's acting as, like, I try not to talk about her too much, but like those voicemails indicate a sort of jealous rage, right? That's what it sort of feels like. And so that moment of the accident, it feels the same way, right, to us. That moment was probably an incident of jealous rage. To us would be, you were talking about 5% of women, right? Still domestic violence, right?
Yeah.
So she still did the act, left him and left. And then those voicemails and everything indicate her state of mind at the time, right? So do I think she was trying to cover her tracks? Not at that point, but maybe like 4:30 when, you know, things start wearing off. We've all kind of been there a little bit. Things start wearing off and you start coming to the reality of, I maybe may have done something. And, you know, the phone call she made to Kerry Roberts and the other people.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, is there concern with the family and friends of John O'Keefe moving forward that based off the first trial and the way that evidence might have been presented or obtained, that there could be a chance that she gets off on the second one, and you guys view it as somebody did a horrific act and they're now walking free.
Yeah, that's a worst case scenario for us. Mm-hmm. But absolutely. That's 100% a fear of ours. You know, mm-hmm. like you said, first trial, we think the evidence was in front of the jury. Like to see it repackaged and maybe delivered a little bit better. But, you know, other than that, a fear of ours is, yeah. And, you know, obviously the jury pool, everybody around here knows about this. Like,
when it comes to something like this, which captured the public's attention, is it your opinion as a friend of John's that we should not interview Karen Reed? If Karen Reed is available...
Huh? Listen, you do whatever you want. You do whatever you want. All we ask is fairness in it,
okay,
right?
Okay, and that's why you want to come in today.
You guys do whatever, of course.
And your message, because it's important to me that we get that out, is that you don't want John O'Keefe and the kind of guy that he was to be lost in all
absolutely.
Of this.
Absolutely. That's literally the most important thing to us. You know, the trial is I say to my kids all the time, the worst thing already happened. So if she's found not guilty a second time, the worst thing already happened.
Yeah.
He's not here. We've already experienced the worst part of it. The O'Keefe family has experienced the worst thing they could after losing, you know, Kristen, too.
Yeah.
Johnny's amazing sister. So, you know, the worst thing happened. So it would be salt in the wounds,
right.
and we'd miss a little bit of justice on that. Yeah, well, absolutely. But, you know, can't bring it back.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to keep going here.
Listen, I appreciate you coming in.
You have more to ask.
Well, no, I didn't say it in the beginning, and I just want to say it now because it is important, and I am sorry. Like, I'm so sorry for your loss because looking at you now, like, you can tell the emotion that you still have, and everything we have heard from everybody, people have called the show, people we've met in person, but also Karen, is that he was a great, great guy. I'm so sorry, and it's I hope that it is less of a circus for you the second time around.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're out here trying to do is just, you know, you get the other side out there. Love to come back and talk if there's more about it. We'll keep things open and we'll do this again if we need to.
Right? All right.
So,
all right, John.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming by.
Right, guys, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man.
Curtis, you didn't ask him about Jacoby Brissett and Drake May.
Well, I didn't want to get to the most important part of the conversation too soon.
Put Drake May in. Just put him in.
Just do it.
Right?
Let's go.
What are we waiting for?
We like Brissett. He's great, but let's just do it.
I had to hold Jackson back. He had like 16 questions. He was ready.
All right, John, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We got to get to Courtney and to what is trending this hour.
The Rich Keefe Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the Sox take one against the Astros behind Jaren Duran's game-winning homer. 6-5 was your final. Another one in Houston this afternoon. First pitch, 2:10, with Cooper Criswell getting the start opposing Justin Verlander. You can hang out with Arcan at 1:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Tyler Murray have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. Patriots back at practice today, 1 p.m. start with Gerard Mayo speaking with media beforehand at 12:30 ahead of Sunday's preseason finale against the Commanders. And history was made last night, the first WNBA game ever played at the TD Garden with the Connecticut Sun defeating the LA Sparks in front of a sold-out crowd. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, guys. It is currently 64 degrees and sunny, afternoon high of 73, and we need Dancing Curtis if we've ever needed him before. And there he is. Wow, he's still going after that. Look at him. Happy as a clam. That's the weather.
Dude needs a little sunscreen, though.
Nope.
I'm worried about dancing weather smoke when it comes to the UV rays.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He does need a tan, though.
But he doesn't need a lot of sunscreen.
No.
Probably just like a capful would probably cover everything.
Oh, look at this. The moves are improving over the course of the show.
I love the hot symbol.
Me too.
That he makes.
That's the weather.
Good job, Curtis.
Thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.